What I'd like to discuss with you today is the question of simcha and ta'anug, pleasure and enjoyment in the learning of Torah. We're going to refer now, if you have the Maror Makomos in front of you, to a sefer by one of the great Hasidic leaders, the Sokachov Rebbe, the Iglei Tal. The Iglei Tal, which is a book dedicated to the study of the 39 Malachot, unfortunately doesn't cover all 39 Malachot, but since the publication of that work, many people have written to try to complete the work that the Sokachov Rebbe began. It's very fascinating to me that the Sokachov Rebbe, in his introduction, addresses what he calls a common misnomer about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. If you take a look, it's right there on page 1, it's number Gimel. He says, Shamati k'tzat b'nei Adam. He says he's heard the following approach or opinion amongst many people. Toim miderech haseichel. He says they've made a mistake. Binyan limud Torahtenu HaKadosha v'yamru ki alomed u'mechadesh chidushim v'sameach u'mitaneg b'limudeu ein zeh limud haTorah kol kach l'shma. He says that the fact that a person enjoys his Torah study, derives pleasure therein, detracts from the mitzvah of Torah Lishma. In fact, the Rambam, which you'll see in the first of your Maror Makomos on this page, writes, Amru Chachomim liolam yasok odem b'Torah bein Lishma bein shalol Lishma shemitoch shalol Lishma bo Lishma. Studying Torah shalol Lishma is only a stepping stone. It's not an end unto itself. The goal and the achievement of Torah study is Torah Lishma. So the Iglei Tal quotes those who are of the opinion that if a person enjoys his learning too much, if he gets too much pleasure out of it, then this detracts from the level that a person should seek to achieve in Torah study, namely, Lishma. Kemo she'im haya lomed b'pshitut, if a person would learn simply for the sake of the mitzvah of Torah study, the Torah commands us, v'shinantam levanecha, if that's going to motivate us without any pleasure, that's real Lishma. That's a person who's doing it for the sake of the mitzvah and only for the sake of the mitzvah. So those people claim. Says the Iglei Tal, and I'm skipping a few lines, U'be'emet ze ta'ut mefursam. In truth, this is an absolute mistake. He writes, Adarab, on the contrary, ki zehi ikar mitzvahs limud haTorah. That's a very, very profound statement. He's going very far out here, and if you happen to have a pen or a highlight, those are the words I think you should underline. He writes again, Adrabe zehi ikar mitzvas limud haTorah. He says, the essence of Torah study, liyot sas v'samechu mitaneg b'limudo. And then he gives a sort of Hasidic approach. He says, v'az, if a person has this tremendous pleasure in simcha and tanug, then divrei Torah nivlaim b'damo. Somehow the Torah becomes part of him. This is the achievement of dveikut, of clinging, of becoming one with Torah study. I would like to think that all of you here today, who took out of your time to be with the Kollel, are interested in Torah study, not just from the perspective of the cut and dry mitzvah, the obligation and the fulfillment thereof, but also because we enjoy Torah study. And I think we're all unified in our position that we certainly hope that the pleasure that we derive from Torah study is at the very least not to detract from the mitzvah of Torah study. But the Iglei Tal goes, as we'd say, min ha-kotza el ha-kotza, from one extreme to the opposite. And he says that on the contrary, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah requires simcha and tanug. That tanug and simcha are the main essential parts of the mitzvah of Torah study. The position, I believe, is quite radical, quite profound, but the real question is, can it be proven? And the Iglei Tal goes on to try to establish that this is so. To appreciate the background of his proof, we go back to the Rambam. The Rambam that we started with speaks about the fact that we are encouraged to study Torah, both Lishma and even Shalom Lishma. Shemitok Shalom Lishma, Bo Lishma. Where does the Rambam derive this from? This is a Gemara in Masechta Pesachim. But what I would ask you to do is, we looked at the second source, that's number Bet on the same page 1, is to be very careful in comparing the words of Rav in Masechta Pesachim to the words of the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah in Perek Gimel. The Gemara quotes Rav, Om Rav Yud in the name of Rav, Liolam Ya'asok Adam B'Torah Uv Mitzvot. Afal Pi Shalol Lishma. Shemitok Shalol Lishma Bal Lishma. And again, if I can ask you to accept my apologies and I can speak to you as I speak to my students, can I evoke a response here? Did the Rambam add or subtract from the words of Rav? He subtracted, exactly. Whereas Rav spoke about doing mitzvot shalol lishma, as well as studying Torah shalol lishma, the Rambam only codified the case of Talmud Torah. He left out the idea of pursuing mitzvot, of achieving mitzvot shalol lishma. And all the Mefarshim, this is a very universal question that appears in the commentaries, were wondering, why is it that the Rambam omitted the case of mitzvot shalol lishma? Can I just ask, is this microphone bothering anyone besides myself? I'm just not used to it. I mean, is it like, am I like shaking the foundations of this building? Or it's okay? All right. As long as it's okay with you, I'll learn to live with it. I'm not familiar with microphones. Anyway. Says Li Gleital, he says, I have an answer to the question, the enigma, as to why the Rambam omitted mitzvot shalol lishma. And in a style which is very typical of what we call the Derech HaPilpul, to try to align all the shitot throughout Shas, etc., etc., he proves that it happens to be the opinion of Rav, in a very, very famous and fundamental machlokas throughout Shas, that mitzvot einan tzrichot kavana. The issue here at stake, which is a very far-reaching one, is one who achieves a mitzvah, implements a ma'isa mitzvah, without interest in fulfilling his obligation vis-a-vis Shamayim. Would he have fulfilled his mitzvah in any event? This is a Gemara in many different places. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah, for example, addresses the case of Hatoke Elishir. I don't know why the shofar was chosen as a musical instrument. I could have thought of better instruments, but he was blowing the shofar not for the sake of the mitzvah. The Gemara, for example, in Psachim speaks about a very strange case in which a person was forced to eat matzah on the night of Pesach, at threat of death. So he was not motivated to eat the matzah for the sake of the mitzvah, but rather to save his own life. And we have cases of Kriyat Shema Shalol Lishma, where a person was reading Shema. It happened to be the time for Kriyat Shema, but he was doing so l'Hislamed in order to learn. He was studying. He wasn't interested in the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, etc., etc. In this gigantic issue, Rav takes the position that mitzvot einan tzrichot kavana, that a person can fulfill his obligation, he was yotzei his mitzvah, even though he lacks kavana. The Rambam, however, paskins like the other opinion, that mitzvot tzrichot kavana, with the one exception of matzah, which again generated a great deal of literature. The Gleital is of the opinion that matzah, since it involves hana'ah, a certain element of pleasure, once again, we wonder why matzah was chosen for that pleasure, but in any event, since the physical body enjoys the pleasure of matzah, therefore, that is a kiyum mitzvah, even though as a general universal principle, mitzvot tzrichot kavana, according to the Rambam. Says the Igletal, with regard to Rav, who holds mitzvot einan tzrichot kavana, so the intent to fulfill the mitzvah is not indispensable, we could do without it, we can accept the principle of la'olam yasok adam b'mitzvot afilu shalol lishma. So we have here what's called the l'shitaso in the world of the yeshivot. Rav is consistent with his opinion. The basis of Rav's conclusion that a person is encouraged to perform mitzvot, even shalol lishma, not for the sake of God's will and his command, even shalol lishma, is the fact that Rav himself happens to be of the opinion that mitzvot einan tzrichot kavana, that one can fulfill his obligation even without kavana. So it's not coincidental, and those two positions really emanate from the same source. Says Li Gleital, the idea of performing a mitzvah shalol lishma with the hope of reaching ultimately the level of lishma is based on the fact that even a mitzvah shalol lishma is a meaningful mitzvah. And it entails a kiyum mitzvah, I have fulfilled my obligation. And why is that so? Because mitzvot einan tzrichot kavana. So that's Rav l'shitasa. Therefore, Rav encourages us to perform mitzvot shalol lishma. By performing a mitzvah shalol lishma, at least I have the lower case, the lower level mitzvah, the kiyum mitzvah of shalol lishma, without kavanah. But nevertheless, mitzvot einan tzrichot kavana. Kavana is not likuva, it's not indispensable. So I have, in a sense, salvaged the kiyum mitzvah. That kiyum mitzvah, albeit on a low level, will ultimately lead me, if I merit so, to the higher level of a mitzvah with lishma. However, says the Lital, the Rambam Lishitoso, who holds that mitzvot tzrichot kavana, that means a mitzvah without kavana is meaningless, it's not a fulfillment at all. Therefore, the Rambam could not possibly have accepted the position of li'olam yasok adam b'mitzvos afilu shelo lishma. Because a mitzvah shelo lishma, when I'm motivated by exterior motives, and therefore I'm not doing it for the sake of the mitzvah, since it's meaningless, it doesn't even generate a lower level, lowercase kiyum mitzvah, it's completely negated. It's out of the box. And therefore, we cannot even hope that it will lead me ultimately to the level of lishma. Interesting, if you take a look at the Igli Tal inside for a moment, which is on page 1, source number 4, Dalid. So he goes on and he says the following. He writes, Yisod Hadin, this is in the middle paragraph, Dili Olam Yasok Adam Shalo Lishma Mishum Di Al Yidei Mitzvah Zu Hanasei Shalo Lishma Zolche Lavo Lidei Mitzvah Lishma. However, he says, Zenachon Rak Im Shalo Lishma Nami Mitzvah Choshev. If you can salvage some level of kiyum, then it's meaningful, and that kiyum will lead you ultimately to the level lishma. The Rambam, however, Lishitato holds that shalo lishma, meaning without kavanah, lav mitzvah klal, because the Rambam holds mitzvot tzrichot kavanah, therefore he doesn't have the liberty to paskin the din of shalo lishma with regard to mitzvot. So then, according to the Gleital, a mitzvah shalo lishma without kavanah, according to the Rambam, is totally meaningless. Elsewhere in the same introduction to his book, Gleital, he calls and he classifies mitasek bi'alma. We know that mitasek is a case of someone who's completely oblivious to his actions. For example, in Masechta Bava Kamma, somebody who rolls in his sleep and breaks somebody else's utensils, or we have the case of someone who's blowing a shofar in order to clean it of some blockage, and as a result a tekiah shvarim true, a tekiah comes out. That's a case of misasek. Misasek means he's totally unaware of his action. His action is not considered his, if you could say such a thing. That's misasek. Says the Gleital, you can identify, you can equate a mitzvah shalo lishma in the Rambam with a case of misasek. It's totally devoid of any meaning. And therefore the two propose that shalo lishma bo lishma would be impossible, according to the Rambam. Yeah, but wait a minute. The Rambam does hold of shalo lishma. In what case? We're not in the clear yet, according to Igli Tal. The Igli Tal has explained why we cannot operate with the principle of mitok shalo lishma bo lishma, according to the Shitas of Rambam, with regard to mitzvot. But in fact, the Rambam does embrace the Shita of shalo lishma bo lishma. In what case? In Talmud Torah. Ah, says Igli Tal, Talmud Torah is the exception to the rule. Talmud Torah belongs to that very, very limited category, the members of which are very few, in which case we could say that you fulfill the mitzvah even without kavanah, even shalo lishma. Why does Talmud Torah belong to that category? Why would the Rambam, who rejects shalo lishma, bo lishma, and mitzvahs, accept shalo lishma, bo lishma with regard to Torah study? And what's the answer? What? I can't hear you. Who's that, Elchana? How are you, Rabbi? You have a good booming voice. Let's hear you without this mic.
Well, I think the point is that the point that the last line, the last paragraph,
says
that it's like matzah.
Excellent. It's like matzah. What was unique about matzah?
Is that
exactly. Says the Leital, here's the proof that hanah, that pleasure, is integral, is essential to the mitzvah Talmud Torah. The very fact that the Rambam accepts a mitzvah without kavanah as a fulfillment thereof, but only in the rare cases where the mitzvah is identified as hanah, where pleasure is inherent in the mitzvah. If the Rambam has shalo lishma in Talmud Torah, it must be, therefore, that Talmud Torah has an element of hanah in it. The Talmud Torah should be classified with that very limited category of mitzvot, similar to matzah, where there's some pleasure which we derive from the study of Torah, and that pleasure defines the mitzvah itself. If that pleasure defines the mitzvah, then we could say that even without kavanah, you have a kiyum mitzvah. So let's just summarize what we've seen. The Leital has a fascinating proof to establish that hana, that pleasure, is an integral part of the mitzvah of Torah study. The proof, in essence, stands or relies on an answer to a famous question in the Rambam. The difficulty in the Rambam is that the Rambam has omitted mitok shelo lishma bo lishma with regard to mitzvot, even though he has it with regard to Torah study. How do we reconcile that? If the Rambam accepts the principle of Rav in the Masechta Pesachim, that mitok shelo lishma bo lishma, he should have accepted it hook, line, and sink. He should have embraced it mikol vakol and applied it to mitzvahs as well. He makes the split, the Rambam. He accepts mitok shelo lishma bo lishma with regard to Talmud Torah. He rejects it with regard to mitzvahs. Segzli tal, I know exactly what the answer is. Mitok shelo lishma bo lishma could never operate with regard to mitzvahs in general, according to the Shita Sarama, because we need kavana. Without kavana, we don't even have a basic kiyuma mitzvah. We cannot salvage anything. Masha'en came, which is different in the case of Talmud Torah, where Hanah represents the essence of the mitzvah. There, we can apply the principle of a mitzvah without kavana, because Hanah substitutes for kavana, and therefore we can say mitok shelo lishma, having fulfilled Talmud Torah on the lower level, we can aspire, we can hope that he'll fulfill Talmud Torah on the higher level, lishma bo lishma. I would like to suggest the following. Perhaps we can understand the Rambam in different terms. Meaning, I'm not convinced, and again, Torah Hiva Lilmod on Litzarech, that this is the only answer to the problem of the Rambam. I think we can offer another solution. And therefore, what I'd like to see is if the Yigle Tal's proof is absolutely convincing. Let me suggest the following. The Rambam paskins Enochinami Mitzvot Tzrichot Kavana. Why is that so? Every mitzvah in the Torah entails two different dimensions, and both must be implemented. One, first and foremost, is the ma'aseh mitzvah, the physical act. Every mitzvah has its act, which is well defined and halachically considered has the status of a mitzvah act. Then, having implemented that act, having fulfilled the ma'aseh mitzvah, I now have achieved a kiyuma mitzvah. The kiyuma mitzvah is the fulfillment of the mitzvah, which results from the ma'aseh mitzvah. The problem is, what defines a ma'aseh mitzvah? How do I get this thing up and running? How do I give it the status of a ma'aseh mitzvah? Again, we use the terminology achalos, meaning a halachic status. What gives the halachic status to the ma'aseh, to the action? We could view every action as just a physical action. We don't have to elevate it to the status of a ma'aseh mitzvah. What element could possibly generate that status of a ma'aseh mitzvah? And there are two possible answers. One could be the chovas gavra, the very fact that I'm obligated. That obligation itself means that the fact that I'm fulfilling something, the fact that I'm implementing an action and I'm responsible and I'm obligated to do so, that itself means what I'm doing is a ma'aseh mitzvah. After all, I'm obligated. The other possibility is to say that the chovas gavra is not sufficient. In order to generate a ma'aseh mitzvah, I need something else. I need another element. And that's kavana. Kavana means my intention. My intention is a necessary requisite in order to engender a ma'aseh mitzvah. Once it's engendered as a ma'aseh mitzvah, then the melech have the kiyuma mitzvah. Then afkamida is going to be whether mitzvot tzrichos kavana or not. If I hold that mitzvot einam tzrichos kavana, then the very fact that I'm obligated and I have achieved a ma'aseh mitzvah, that itself gives my action the status of a chal shem ma'aseh mitzvah and engenders the kiyum. If on the other hand I take the opposite position, that mitzvot tzrichos kavana, then what I'm saying is that the action per se, despite the fact that it was implemented by someone who has an obligation, is not a ma'aseh mitzvah. I need some additional element in the action which will convert my action, transform it, and upgrade it to the level, to the status of a ma'aseh mitzvah. And what element is going to do so? What dimension of my ma'aseh mitzvah is going to give it to engender the chal shem ma'aseh mitzvah? The answer is kavon, according to that mandiyot. However, if this be the case, supposing we can have a mitzvah where the action itself is meaningful, meaning it's a ma'aseh mitzvah per se, regardless of a chovas gavra, regardless of kavana, there's something inherent in the action which gives it the status of a ma'aseh mitzvah. If that be the case, then I don't need kavana. The whole purpose of kavana, as we defined before, is to generate a maisa mitzvah. But lu yitzur, if I could come up with a maisa, an action, which is halachically meaningful per se, the action inherently is considered a fulfillment of sorts, despite the gavra, his kavana, despite the fact that he's chayav or he's not chayav, the action itself generates the status of a mitzvah act. In such a case, I can do without kavana. This, I believe, Rabosai, is the key to understand the Rambam sheet. Although mitzvos tzrichos kavana in general, yes, the Rambam requires kavana to convert the maisa, upgrade it into a maisa mitzvah. The chal shem mitzvah depends upon my kavana. It's an absolute contingency. Talmud Torah is different. Talmud Torah, I believe, is one of maybe two mitzvahs of the Taryag, which has a meaningful maisa mitzvah per se. There's no need to engender a chal shem maisa mitzvah. The maisa mitzvah is a given. Torah posits itself. The study of Torah itself is meaningful as a maisa mitzvah. To give you an example of what I have in mind, there's a famous shita of the Mechaber. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that women, as a matter of principle, do not make brachot on mitzvah asei shazman groma. Those mitzvot which they are exempt from, they don't make a bracha. They can't say asher kitshanu mitzvot sevitzimanu. And yet the Mechaber, in Aruch Chaim, Lamed Zayin, paskins that women make a bracha on the Torah, on the study of Torah. So all the Mefarshim ask, there's a contradiction here. Women are not obligated in the study of Torah. Why is it then that they recite a bracha on the study of Torah? The Mechaber paskins that women don't make a bracha on an optional mitzvah. So you can grant that women in Torah study is optional, it's not obligatory, but nevertheless, that's not sufficient to generate a bracha. So I heard from my Rebbe in the name of Reb Chaim. The Reb Chaim used to say that the bracha on Torah study is unique. It's not like any other bracha on any other mitzvah. That the Mechaber accepts the bracha on Torah study because Torah study is meaningful per se without a Chovas Gavra. Meaning every other bracha, when we recite Asher Kidshonu Mitzvotah V'tzivanu, the emphasis is on the word V'tzivanu. I'm obligated to implement this mitzvah. Not so in the case of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is not based on the chiyuv on the Chovas Gavra, but based on what Reb Chaim used to call a typical brisket jargon, the Cheftza Shel Torah. Even a woman, despite the fact she's exempt from the mitzvah of Torah study, she can generate a Cheftza Shel Talmud Torah. On that Cheftza Shel Talmud Torah, she can recite a bracha. If this be the case, then perhaps we can unravel the mystery that the Igli Tal was perturbed by. Why is it that the Rambam accepts Torah Shelo Lishma? After all, the Rambam holds mitzvah Tzrichos Kavana. The answer might be because Torah study is different than any other mitzvah. The other mitzvah, by the way, that I had in mind is tefillah, is prayer. Prayer itself is a cheftza shel maisa mitzvah, even without a chovas kavra, and even without kavana. And on the contrary, it's possible that one should not pray in order to fulfill his chiyuv, because that would make it a kind of a lesser mitzvah. In Torah study, for sure, there's something called a cheftza of Talmud Torah. That cheftza of Talmud Torah generates a bracha. And in our case, that Cheftza Shel Talmud Torah could be generated as a Maisa Mitzvah without Kavanah. So therefore, the Rambam could always adopt the position of Li'olam Yasok Adam B'Torah Shelo Lishma, Shemitok Shelo Lishma Bo Lishma, even granted the premise of the Igli Tal to be correct, that in Shelo Lishma, I am absolutely devoid of Kavanah, granted the premise of the Igli Tal that the Rambam requires Kavanah in Mitzvahs, Talmud Torah is different. In every mitzvah, the kavanah is a necessary component in order to generate a maisa mitzvah. Talmud Torah shiny. Talmud Torah doesn't require kavanah to generate a cheftah shel maisa mitzvah. And therefore, Torah shelo lishma is also a key mitzvah.
The problem is that the
Eli
Tal compares the two to the mitzvah of the Achilas Matzah. Again,
correct. I'm not going with the Igli Tal at this point. What I'm offering is a suggestion to circumvent the Igli Tal. The Igli Tal, certainly Lushitoso, is taking Talmud Torah. He's adding Hanah as an essential part of the mitzvah, and he's comparing it to matzah. And he's saying that, therefore, mitzvahs lo tzrichos kavana in Talmud Torah. I'm suggesting mitzvahs lo tzrichos kavana in Talmud Torah because the whole concept of kavana is not applicable, it's not a requirement, I should say, with regard to Torah stuff. Right. Could be that Hanah itself generates a Maisa Mitzvah.
I'm saying that
Okay, that's totally in the sugi misasik. Misasik b'chalov v'arayus, that applies to losases, and the flip side in the case of essays. But the bottom line is, there's no proof, according to our pshat, that hana and tainug is an essential part of the mitzvah Talmud Torah. Either he like tells Kasha, why does the Rambam have shalol lishma in Talmud Torah? Not because of hana, but because of the nature of Torah study. The nature of Torah study is such that by its very essence, it's a maisa mitzvah. I don't need kavana as an external component to generate the chal shem maisa mitzvah. Let me move on, if I can, to page 2. I'm looking at the clock, and I don't know if we're going to have time for the Taz, because that's going to take us about an hour. So let's go on to number Chet, and I'll owe you the Taz. Okay. Perhaps we can find a source for the Rambam, especially the way Leitao understands his sheet. Again, I haven't found a source to prove this, but perhaps the Rambam really does accept Igley Tal's definition that Hana and Tainug form an essential part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But I would base it on another source. And this is the famous Rambam of Avoda Me'ava, which you'll see here in number Chet on page 2. This is the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, at the very end of Hilchas Tshuva Perek Yud. It's the third line down. The Rambam says, Amru Chacham Rishonin, Shema Tomar Hareini Lomei Torah Bishvil Sheyeh Ashir Bishvil Shekra Rebbe Mekari Rebbe Bishvil Shakabel Sachar Bolam Abba Talmud Lomar Lavat Hashem. The Rambam, when he defines the mitzvah of Avodah Me'ahava, as opposed to Avodah Me'ira, if you happen to know, the Rambam dedicates almost the entire chapter, the 10th chapter of Tshuva, to the level of Avodah Me'ahava. One should serve God out of love, not out of fear. And in that context, the Rambam has a lot to say about the mitzvah of Torah study, which is a prime example of Avodah Me'ava. So that the concept of Talmud Torah, according to the Rambam, should be identified as Avodah. Now, although this may be true with regard to all Taryag mitzvot, every mitzvah certainly is Avodah, is to serve Hashem, yet the Rambam does single out Talmud Torah in a very special way as a, shall we call it, an opportunity to serve Hashem. With regard to the mitzvah of Avodah, there's a very long discussion in the Rambam at the end of Hilchas Sukkah, in which the Rambam says that simcha, that pleasure and enjoyment, happiness and gladness, these are essential components to Avodas Hashem. The Rambam there quotes the famous pasuk from the Tochacha, and the Rambam says that one who serves Hashem without the element of simcha is lacking something integral in his avodah. So if we put A plus B together, perhaps we could generate C. Let's put together the fact that the Rambam classifies Talmud Torah as an outstanding example of avodah Hashem. Let's put together the fact that the Rambam requires an avodah Hashem simcha, gladness and happiness in serving Hashem. This is our opportunity to serve the Almighty. If we put those two together, then we could certainly say that simcha is a requirement in Talmud Torah. Perhaps that would serve as an alternative source for the conclusion of the Igley Tal. So mind you, Rabosa, I'm not trying to disagree with the Igley Tal. I'm just trying to see how and where we can establish it. He makes two attempts. The first attempt is from the Rambam in Mitzvahs Einam Tzrichas Kavanah, which we thought was not convincing. And then he has another attempt from the Taz, which again, if we have time for it, we'll try to fit it in, Bli Neder, but I think there's another way of interpreting the Taz. But now perhaps we can accept and embrace the conclusion of the Igley Tal, and you realize I have Negia Bedover. I certainly want to conclude that the Igley Tal is correct, and that Simcha and Tainug is part of the Mitzvah Talmud Torah, but coming from a different source. Does anybody want to comment on this proof from the Rambam in Tshuva, the Rambam in Hilchas Sukkah? Yeah?
It's a nice concept, but it's not convincing to Talmud Torah.
Exactly. What kind of concept is it? Is it a Din Kloli or a Din Mesuya?
The Leitao's proof is also not less convincing because it's pushing two things together, Shalom and Shmon Kavodah, but two radically different terms. And
yeah, that requires a lot of study. But the Rambam from Hilchas Tshuva with the Rambam in Hilchas Sukkah is no proof at all, because what is the Rambam referring to there when he says that Simcha is an integral part of Avodas Hashem? He's not talking about Talmud Torah at all. Now, true, the Talmud Torah is an expression of Avodas Hashem, no doubt about it. In fact, the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos in Mitzvah Hey has under the mitzvah of Avadatem es Hashem Elokeichem the mitzvah of Talmud of study. But despite the fact that Torah study is one aspect or one expression of Avodas Hashem, Avodas Hashem expresses itself in all Taryag Mitzvot. And therefore the requirement of Simcha is not what we call a Din Mesuyam, a special halacha that applies to Talmud Torah, but rather it's a Din Klali, it's a general universal halacha that Simcha is part of the Kiyum of any Mitzvah, no matter what Mitzvah it is. So if we're trying to postulate some special requirement of Simcha and Oneg within the context of Torah study, I don't believe that our attempt would be successful. Correct. And the Rambam doesn't have it in all mitzvahs. Right, he only has it in Talmud Torah. Phil, did you want to say something? Yeah, but the Rambam happens to place the concept. When the Rambam thought of a place to discuss Simcha in mitzvahs, he chose Hilchas Sukkah. Not because of the mitzvah of Sukkah, not even because of the mitzvah of Lulav, but rather because of what mitzvah? What mitzvah does the Rambam address at the end of Hilchas Sukkah? Anybody remember? The mitzvah of V'samachta, specifically in the case of Sukkahs, Simchat Beit HaShoeva. So in the context of his discussion, a very long and integral intricate discussion of the aspects of Simchas Beis Shoeva, then the Rambam went off on a tangent, and he concludes Hilchas Sukkah with a gigantic discussion, which if we had time, it would be a wonderful limud, about Simcha and Mitzvahs in general. But he doesn't mention anything there about Talmud Torah. So again, I'm looking for some proof to derive the conclusion of the Igli Tal, not based on his proofs, but perhaps other proofs, that Hanah and Tainug are integral to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Oh, wow. We're getting heavy here. I'm a Chassidish Yid, so be careful. You're messing around. Who are you messing around with? Right. But if I can, the reason I'm gonna, in a sense, interject, because I got 20 minutes to finish this year. What I'm looking for is a source in halacha, a halachic source, for the that would derive the conclusion that Simcha is essential to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Oh, chemistry. But I need a source in Shas. That's what I need. You know. Let me ask Mechila and take a look in the bottom of page 2. I found the Gemara in Tainus, and I was hoping that all of you would come up with this on your own. I think the Gemara in Tainus is a pretty clear-cut proof that Simcha is essential to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And in this case, we're going to derive it from the antithesis of Simcha. What's the opposite of Simcha? Avelus. Can Avelus and Talmud Torah go together hand in hand? Well, let's look at the Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara there is not addressing Avelus per se. That's in Mord Katan. But in the end of the Sefer Tainus, the Gemara addresses the issue of Tisha B'Av, which certainly has an element of Avelus, the Kim Avelus of Tisha B'Av. And in fact, the Gemara postulates that the Avelus of Tisha B'Av is antithetical to the mitzvah of Torah study. Tana Rabbanon, this is number tes, kol mitzvot ha-no'agot ba'avel, no'agot de'tisha ba'av. So the Braita postulates an equation, an identity between Avelus and Tisha B'Av. And therefore, says the Braita, amongst many other things that are listed there, asur likrot ba'Torah. And therefore, there's an Iser of Talmud Torah. And then the Braita continues by proving this from the pasuk Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Misamchei Lev, which in this case doesn't mean Pikudei Hashem in the sense of the command or the implementation of the command, but rather Pikudei Hashem means the study of the commands, meaning the study of Torah. The study of Torah is Misamchei Lev. As a result of the fact that the Torah of study is Mesamchei Lev, it's absolutely excluded on Tisha B'Av. This itself, I think, could serve as proof, the Igli Tal doesn't quote this Gemara, to the conclusion in the Igli Tal that Simcha is an essential part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. If it were not, then certainly I could study Torah on Tisha B'Av without enjoying the benefits of Torah study. But somehow, inherent in the study of Torah, there's an element of simcha, and that's antithetical to Tisha B'Av. However, Abosai, here I would like to raise a chakir. And this you'll see, I typed it out. I'm not very good at typing, but with two forefingers, I got through it. On the bottom of page 2. When we say that simcha, based on the pasuk Pikudi Hashem Yishar Masam Chilev, is antithetical to Tisha B'Av, to the aveis of Tisha B'Av, what do we mean? And I think we can offer two possible definitions of that halacha. What we might be saying is that the kiyum mitzvah of Talmud Torah entails simcha. Simcha is integral to the mitzvah of Torah study, and insofar as it is, it's to be excluded on Tisha B'Av. We might be saying, on the other hand, something entirely different. We're not saying that simcha halachically is required as part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but rather, it's reality. Misamche leiv, the Torah is just describing the natural response to any sort of intellectual pursuit, and how much more so in the case of studying Hashem's Torah, which is infinite, which is endless, which is rachov min hayam, which is deeper than anything that we can experience. And I have to add, just to interject a little bit of my own feelings. You know, I went to college, I went to graduate school, I studied with some of the great philosophers in that time. I'm going back a couple of years. And I can honestly tell you, and this is in all honesty, this is not a Kiruv project, so you can't accuse me of saying anything for the sake of Kiruv. I have never in my life experienced anything in secular studies that compares to Torah study and its pure pleasure and its creativity. Now, could I make such a case to Professor Jonas, who taught me phenomenology? I don't know. But I certainly hold like that. So, if you would ask me what Misamche Lev means, I would certainly postulate that, gee, I'm having a great time learning Torah. This is not something that, you know, you have to bludgeon me, you have to force me to study Torah. I'm enjoying it. I'm having a blast. Misamche Lev. Perhaps then, what's antithetical to Tisha B'Av is something about the nature of Torah study, not on a halachic level. I would call it a cheftza of simcha, not a kiyum mitzvah of simcha, just the mitzvah, the very reality of simcha. And I would like to postulate an afkamina to this chakir. Torah could be studied in two different ways. One is called dibur, as the Torah says, v'dibarta bam, and the other would be hirhu, just Torah thoughts. Now, many poskim, and the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, is the exception, but many, many poskim are of the opinion, and this is something that I feel it's a mitzvah lefarsim, we should really publicize, is many poskim are of the opinion that dibur, that speech, is an absolute requirement in the mitzvah of Torah study, and I mean it literally. Again, I'm not here to poskim, but I will show you a long, impressive list of poskim are of that opinion, the Gaon notwithstanding. In any event, let's assume, for argument's sake, that hirhur lav kedibur domi, that whenever the Torah requires dibur, it's got to be dibur, it's got to be the spoken word that's verbally expressed, it cannot be thought. And therefore, hirhur b'divrei Torah would not constitute a kiyum mitzvah Talmud Torah, according to that line of thinking. In fact, if you take a look on page 3, first split second, and I apologize, I didn't give you that much room on the sides to write your notes, but we'll do better next time if they invite me again. But in any event, if you take a look on the top of page 3, I quote the Mechaber there, who says that for hirhur b'divrei Torah, we don't recite a bracha. There's no bracha on thoughts of Torah. And the explanation is because the Torah says, lo yamush sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha. And what does the word mipicha indicate? That it's got to be spoken. So it's a classical case of dibur, v'dibarta bam. And the principle that applies here is hirulav kedibur dami. Therefore, we would not recite a bracha on studying the Torah mentally, according to the Mechaber, and that's how the Mechaber paskins. The Rav Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Talmud Torah, which is a major source for the halachas of Talmud Torah, writes, "Kemo kol mitzvot hatluyot b'dibur she'eino yotzei b'hem yidei chovato b'hirhur." He's absolutely explicit on the issue. You must speak divrei Torah. The Mishnah Berurah, by the way, writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, there in Aruch Chaim, he writes that a person, after he recites Birchas HaTorah, should be very careful to recite Divrei Torah verbally, and not just think Torah thoughts. So this is to be taken quite seriously. Again, the Gaon has his comment based on the pasuk of Higayon. If you take a look, it says, V'gisa bo, and he claims that V'gisa bo is Higayon HaLev, However, I found the Chayyadam, Rav Avram Danzig, in his book Nishmas Adam, defends the position of the Mechaber, and this is also the position, as I said, of the Rav Shulchan Aruch, that the word Higayon does not necessarily mean Higayon Halev. If the Torah says Higayon Lev, then you're talking about thinking. You're talking about some sort of inner emotional moment. But if the Torah just uses the word Higayon, as it does in the word Vigita Bo, then it doesn't necessarily mean... then it doesn't necessarily mean that that we're talking about machshava. It's very interesting. He quotes a pasuk in Mishlei to demonstrate this. Is at the end of the first couple of lines on page 3, that first paragraph. The pasuk in Mishlei says, "Ki emet yegech chiki." Chiki implies speech. And even though the word yeg is used, nevertheless yegech chiki. So we're talking about speech, and we're talking about higayon, and they both go together. So there's, unless it says higayon alev, says the Chokhmah Sadom, it's not indicative of thought. It requires speech. If this be the case, then we come to the conclusion that hirur lav kedibur dami, that the mitzvah of Torah study requires speech. Well, let's get back to Tisha B'Av. Would one be permitted to think Torah thoughts on Tisha B'Av? Are we talking about a kiyum mitzvah Talmud Torah in this case? If we go with the Shita and the Mechaber and the Chokhmah Sadom and the Rav Shulchan Aruch? Again, if I'm thinking Torah thoughts, does that entail a kiyum mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Absolutely not. Would it be prohibited on Tisha B'Av? Well, it would depend. What? Exactly. So if we would define the Pikudi Hashem Yisharim Samchei Lev, why is Talmud Torah antithetical to Tisha B'Av? It's because of the mitzius of Simcha, the reality of happiness, of joy, of intellectual pleasure. Then it should be excluded even in the case of Hirur. You see, Rabosai, you can argue with me about this point, if you like. But in my mind, this is a done deal. I'm not willing to budge on this position from my perspective. You could disagree with me. But I believe that from the perspective of Simcha, there's no difference one iota between speech and thought. The same pleasure intellectually that one derives from speaking Divrei Torah, he could derive from thinking Divrei Torah. So as far as I'm concerned, that's an absolute equation. There's no difference between Simcha through Dibur and Simcha through Hirur. Rabbi Dulitz is going to disagree with me, but for our purposes, I'm going to assume that. Therefore, if the Isur here is not the Kiyum HaMitzvah of Talmud Torah, but rather Mitzvah, the Heftah Shel Simcha, then Hirur should be prohibited on Tisha B'Av. If, on the other hand, it's not the Mitzvah of Simcha, but rather the Kiyum HaMitzvah of Talmud Torah, then I would say that Yesh L'Chalik Ben Hirur L'Dibur. In fact, the Mechaber, and in Beis Yosef as well, brings down two opinions on this question. He says, Yesh Omrim, there are those who say, that on Tisha B'Av, Hirhur is prohibited. However, in the Beis Yosef, according to the Agur, he seems to assume that most of the Rabosav, the majority opinion is, that Hirhur is permitted on Tisha B'Av. And it's only the Yesh Misha Oser, which is one opinion, the minority view, that prohibits the study of Torah through Hirhur, meaning thinking Torah thoughts, on Tisha. If this be the case, we might suggest the following. Those, and I say that's the majority opinion, who permit Hirhur b'divrei Torah on Tisha B'Av, they postulate that the Isur derived from the Pasuk Pikudi Hashem Yisham Samchei Lev is the Kiyum Mitzvah of Simcha. Meaning that Simcha is integral as a Kiyum, as an element, a dimension of Kiyum HaMitzvah in the case of Talmud Torah. Therefore, they're willing to postulate that there's a difference between Dibur of Divrei Torah and Tisha B'Av and Hirhur. Since Hirhur doesn't entail a Kiyum HaMitzvah, therefore it's permitted on Tisha B'Av. On the other hand, Yesh Misha Oser, the opinion that prohibits Hirhur B'Divrei Torah and Tisha B'Av, I believe, expresses the view that the Isur Simcha derived from Misamchei Lev of Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av is not a result of the Kiyum Mitzvah of Simcha, which there is, but rather from the Mitzius of Simcha. And since Hirhur has the identical level of Mitzius of Simcha, the Heft of Simcha is generated by study of Torah, regardless of whether I study verbally and express my words, or I study intellectually through thought, therefore it's prohibited on Tisha B'Av. I do want to point out one thing very clearly. Even if we were to conclude, which I think is a very valid proof from the Gemara in Taimis, that there's a Kiyum Simcha in Talmud Torah, I doubt very highly if that could justify the conclusion of the Igle Tal. Because if you remember, I had asked you to underline the words of the Igle Tal at the very outset. And what were those words? Ikar mitzvahs Talmud Torah b'simcha. In other words, according to the Igle Tal, if you take him literally at face value, one could not possibly fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah without simcha. I wouldn't go that far. I'm not willing to, you know, to endorse that position at this particular moment in my life. I don't think there's a proof for that. I think we can establish that simcha enhances the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That certainly it's a kiyuma mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Pikudi Hashem Yishar Mesam Chelev. But I don't know if I'm willing to say that it's the ikar, it's the fundamental primary element in the mitzvah of Torah study. I have just a few minutes left, but a lot to tell you. So without going over time, let me just say a few words about Avelus. The Gemara says that an Avil is not allowed to study Torah during Shiva. And this is a Gemara Moed Katan, which, again, I'm skipping for because of the time element here, but let's see if we can find the Gemara Moed Katan here so you'll see it. Yud Beis. Okay, great. So that's on page 3, is it not?
Yeah,
page 3, Yud Beis. Avil Asur B'Sheila Shalom. And then the Gemara goes on to say, Avel also b'divrei Torah. And in both cases, Sheilat Shalom and Divrei Torah, the Gemara bases it on a Pasuk Hanegdom. Anybody have a problem with that? I got a problem with that. What happened to Pikudi Hashem Yishar Mesam Chelev? Was the Gemara in Moed Katan oblivious to the Sugi and Tainus? If the Sugi and Tainus was able to postulate the Isur Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av based on the Pasuk Mesam Chelev, couldn't the Gemara in Moed Katan have come up with the same idea? In other words, if Simcha is antithetical to Avelus, then certainly the paradigm of Avelus, Rachman al-Islam, on the loss of one of seven relatives, that should certainly be antithetical to Simcha. So if Pikudi Hashem Yisar Misam Chelev, why did the Gemara have to stretch its arm out to the Pasuk of Hanegdom? And I would like to suggest an answer. And again, you're the jury, it's up to you. I've never expressed this publicly. But these are my deep feelings. I believe, based on a Gemara in Sukkah, and a Rashi therein, that Simcha in Mitzvah is not antithetical to Avelus at all. In fact, on the contrary, perhaps it's a special obligation incumbent upon the Avel to perform mitzvahs, and I mean all mitzvahs, even mitzvahs that entail Simcha. The exception being a mitzvah whose very essence is Simcha, like Simchas HaRegel. But leaving aside Simchas HaRegel, in the case of any other mitzvah, even if there would be an element of simcha involved, I think an avil would be absolutely obligated to do so. And Rabosai, if you have the time, please take a look at the source material here on the bottom of page 3 going on to page 4. What I would like to suggest is the following. From the perspective of the pasuk Misam Chelev, an avil should be involved in the study of Torah. The fact that he's an avil, Rachman al-Tzan, should not deter him from any mitzvah, and certainly not for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The problem of Avelus with regard to Torah study is a different one entirely. The mitzvah of Avel, Rachman al-Itzlan, requires what I call dmama. Dmama meaning silence. Perhaps the essence of Avelus is tziduk ad-din, accepting the judgment of God, and therein a person has to be dmama. What do I mean by this? The essence of man and what makes man unique on this planet is Tzelem Elokim. And as Targum Unkelus points out way back when, Tzelem Elokim is the Koach HaDibur, Ruach Memale. The Koach HaDibur expresses itself primarily in two different areas. One being Bein Adam LaMakom, in this case, Talmud Torah V'Dibarta Bam, speaking words of Torah. And Bein Adam LaChavero, in our social interaction with our friends, on the other hand, making a person feel good, feel uplifted, speaking words of peace and happiness to our fellow man. It's very fascinating that the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, and I'm coming very quickly to the end, if I could find Hilchos Deos here, Ted Zion, the Rambam says the following, describing a Chacham whose Nikar, who's different than everyone in his speech b'diburo, says the Rambam, v'lo yagbia kolo bioser el diburo b'nachasim kol abrios umakdim shalom l'chol adam kolo shal dovrein imedabra l'bedivrei chachma o b'gmilus chasod. The Rambam so beautifully dramatizes the essence of the power of speech that was granted to man. That power of speech expresses itself primarily in two different areas, in the area of Chachma and in the area of Gmilus Chasod. It's not coincidental that an Ovel, whose Tzelem Elokim is now down, Umosar Ha'odim in a Behema Ayin, that death for a human being is no different, Kaviyochel, than death for an animal. When a person accepts that grotesque reality of death, and he realizes and he's faced with the situation in which man is denied any special privileges insofar as he's man, his humanness, his humanity, his Tzelem Elokim, is completely marred, and thus we have Atifas HaRosh and Kfiyas HaMita in Avil. We also have to express that acceptance of the divine will through an experience of Dmama, of silence. And that Dmama generates two different Isurim. Number one, Sheilat Shalom. And number two, V'dibarta Bom. The Avil is called upon to abstain from speaking words of Torah. If this be the case, we can explain the Shita of the Mechaber, that with regard to Avelus, he permits the learning of Torah and Dvarim HaRoim. He seems to permit Hirhur B'Divrei Torah, but with regard to Tisha B'Av, he does quote that one opinion, and he seems to paskin like that opinion, that even Hirhur is awesome. Tisha B'Av is fundamentally different than Avelus. Tisha B'Av is a day in which a person has to focus all his attention on Churban HaBayis. There's nothing else in his mind. Everything else is mebchinas hesech hadas. It's not a time for tiulim. It's not a time for walking around. It's a time that's dedicated purely to remembering the Churban HaBayis. Torah study, and from that perspective, even Hirhur B'Divrei Torah, is antithetical to hesech hadas from the Avelus of Churban on Tisha B'Av. Not so in the case of Avelus for one of the Shiva Krovim. There, on the contrary, it's the obligation of the Ovel to uplift himself from the spirit of depression of Avelus that may encloud him, and to dedicate himself to the fulfillment of mitzvahs. Torah study is prohibited under an entirely different category, namely because of Hanigdom, not as a result of the pasuk of Bikudi Hashem Yisharim Misam Chilev. In any event, when we go to Dav Ma'ariv every evening, we speak, as I point out here, about the simcha of learning Torah. And the Igley Tal went very far in postulating that the Ikar Mitzvah of Talmud Torah is simcha. This certainly is a Kiyum simcha in Talmud Torah. I'm not sure, I'm not convinced yet it's the Ikar Mitzvah. I just want to conclude with the following very quick story. My father, Zichrono Livracha, used to attend the Rav Shiurim in Moriah on Tuesday nights. And one time he came over to the Rav after the Shiur, and he said to him, Rebbe, you know, I could go to different types of entertainment on Tuesday nights, whether it be movies, etc., theater. But I come to your shiur because I enjoy your shiur so much. I get physical pleasure from coming to your shiur. And I'm afraid, Rebbe, my father said, that insofar as I enjoy your shiur so much, I will not be rewarded for this Torah study because I'm enjoying the Torah too much. And the Rav immediately cut him down and said, Rabbi Berzon, thus haste Torah Lishma. That's what Torah Lishma is. He wrote some of the Avinu Shavashamayim, we shall be zocher to Torah study on the highest level with simcha, with enjoyment, with pleasure. And that kiyum of simcha will elevate us to the true level of Torah Lishma.